with SDPB News. I'm Crystal Mija. Former Dances with Wolves actor Nathan Chasing Horse is scheduled to stand trial on January 13th in Las Vegas. It's a major development in his sexual abuse case after more than a year of stalled court proceedings while he challenged it. Chasing Horse has pleaded not guilty to 21 felonies, charging him with sexually abusing Indigenous women and girls. Prosecutors are now moving forward with their case after a grand jury again indicted Chasing Horse last month. His initial indictment was dismissed in September after the Nevada Supreme Court found prosecutors abused the grand jury process. The court said, however, the charges could be refiled. Chasing Horse was born on the Rosebud Reservation. The discussion orbiting the new prison facilities in South Dakota returned to state appropriators this week. In their meeting, the maximum price was set at $825 million. This would in turn create a facility that houses 1,500 inmates and would replace the Sioux Falls prison that's more than 140 years old. That would make this project among the largest in state history, though some, like Representative John Mills, question the utility of the plan as written.
Nebraska has opted for a similar size facility to build a mixed-use facility. South Dakota is making a choice to design the entire facility for maximum security folks, even though we won't have that many maximum security needs in the facility. The difference, I mean, just for the committee's sake, is about double the cost. What is the benefit to South Dakota to make this choice to spend an extra $400 million to go this route?
In turn, Department of Corrections Secretary Kelly Wasco says the state needs higher security beds instead. The $825 million price is higher than the maximum budget presented earlier, which was closer to $700 million. Nearly 60% of South Dakota voters said no to Referred Law 21 during the election, but the discussion of carbon pipelines is far from over. According to reporting from the North Dakota Monitor, Summit has gained some wins in other states, with Iowa having already granted a permit and Minnesota expecting to vote on a segment of the pipeline next month. Summit intends to reapply for a permit to run part of its 2,500-mile-long pipeline through South Dakota. The Public Utilities Commission denied the permit last year. South Dakota lawmakers are already planning to discuss pipelines again during the next legislative session, which starts in January. State Senator-elect Joy Hone says she's excited to work on eminent domain reform.
We really have had a grassroots movement across South Dakota with a lot of new conservative legislators, and I am hopeful and think that we will bring forth a lot of good legislation that will protect our private property rights and keep our freedoms intact where they should be.
The Hartford Republican says pipeline rules are also expected from the Department of Transportation and the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. Attorney General Marty Jackley targets robocalls in a letter to the Federal Communications Commission. Jackley and 46 other attorneys general say they want the FCC to improve their robocall mitigation database and close a loophole that bad actors exploit in the country's phone network. According to the letter, voice service providers have to register on the FCC's database to operate in the U.S. But since it went live in 2021, the database has done little to prevent bad actors from getting legitimate registrations to send illegal robocalls through the network. The attorneys general say strengthening the database will help providers understand what's required, gives deadlines for submission, and helps validate the data they submit. It would also penalize providers for submitting false or inadequate information by denying their authorizations to operate and blocking noncompliant providers. The State Open Meeting Commission is meeting Monday in Pierre for the first time in 4 years. The commission considers complaints about violations of open meetings laws. It's made up of state attorneys appointed by Attorney General Marty Jackley. The commission was created by the state legislature in 2004. Jackley announced the reformation of the committee earlier this year. Jackley introduced Senate Bill 26 to expand commissioner membership eligibility requirements to include deputy state's attorneys during this year's legislative session. Jackley calls the commission's work, quote, invaluable, and says it brings transparency to government proceedings. Monday's agenda includes 6 pending complaints. For more information, visit sdpb.org/news. Sioux Falls is looking to add some restrictions to the vehicle sizes that are allowed to park on Phillips Avenue, a busy road in the downtown area. SDPB's Jackson Dirks reports.
The ordinance applies to the 142 parking spots starting at 9th Street and extending to 13th Street on Phillips Avenue in Sioux Falls. It would prohibit larger vehicles, such as trucks, from parking in the area. A line will be painted on the edge of the existing diagonal line. Vehicles extending past that line are subject to ticketing. That's a $15 fine, similar to other Sioux Falls downtown parking tickets. According to the City Council, similar ordinances exist in Rapid City and Omaha, Nebraska. Jennifer Sigety is a city councilor for Sioux Falls. She says the ordinance is about safety.
There are about 4,000 public parking spots in downtown Sioux Falls, so there's still well over 3,800 places for people to park. We definitely want people to still feel very comfortable coming to downtown, shopping, eating, enjoying all the amenities that we have, but we want it to be as safe as possible for not only just general public, but obviously police and fire, and we just want to limit the danger of having those big vehicles out onto Phillips.
Some of the biggest criticisms of the proposed ordinance is that the Ford F-150, one of the more popular trucks on the market, cannot fit into proposed spots. Despite this, Sigety says Sioux Falls residents have been generally optimistic about the ordinance.
It has been overwhelmingly positive since October 22nd at the informational meeting. I've talked to other councilors. This is the most, certainly in the 5 or 6 months that the four new councilors that we've been on council, this is by far the most feedback we've received on any issue. And of course, there's a couple negatives. I mean, there's always going to be, but I would say 99% of the feedback we've had is, it's about time, are the words I've heard a lot.
The earliest the ordinance could go into effect is May 1st, 2025. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
Sanford Health is expanding its care network into West River with the acquisition of two Rapid City medical facilities. Black Hills Surgical Hospital and Black Hills Orthopedic and Spine Center are transitioning to nonprofit status as they become part of the Sanford Health Network. Sanford already has a laboratory in Rapid City and provides outreach and long-term care to residents in the area. Officials say the acquisition allows for further advancement in rural health care access in the Black Hills region. The South Dakota National Guard has opened its new readiness center in Sioux Falls. The $22 million training center is 41,000 square feet and includes an additional 50 acres of training land. The building is named after retired Brigadier General Dean Mann. He served in the South Dakota National Guard for 33 years and was Assistant Adjutant General from 1980 to 1982. He lived in Sioux Falls and was a longtime teacher and coach. Governor Kristi Noem says Mann lived a life of legacy. She says it has always been her goal to give soldiers the best of the best.
It's been the honor of my lifetime to be able to serve as the South Dakota National Guard's Commander-in-Chief. I will always appreciate and love my time and serving as the Commander-in-Chief of our soldiers and our airmen, and just know that I highly respect you, that I think you are a gift to this nation, and I will do all I can to continue to support you, equip you, train you, and tell your story everywhere that I go.
Noem also praised the partnership with the City of Sioux Falls for the land swap with the state and the federal delegation for moving the project forward to completion in under 8 years of planning. Co-op sports in South Dakota are a common thing where some athletes may have to travel to compete in their favorite sports. SDPB's Greg Beasley has more on one Harding County Bison senior who has been racking up the miles on the road as well as the yards on the football field.
Harding County Bison senior running back Riley Veal has always loved the game of football.
It means everything. It's been a huge part of my life forever since I can remember. I've always been watching football with Dad. Me in my spare time, it's what I do. I watch football. I watch football highlights. If I'm playing games, I'm playing football games. It's just all football.
4 years ago, Riley's love for the game was tested as Bison didn't have enough players to field a team. But an opportunity opened up.
Well, we were all at a school board meeting because they were going to let the kids decide. So we were all at the school board meeting and they brought up Hardin County first and the discussion kind of ended. I mean, we were all there for Hardin County. We all know the powerhouse Hardin County is, the coaches that they've had. We'd love the chance to come over here and try to do something with it, and that's what we did.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's I've enjoyed the addition of Bison because before this happened 4 years ago, I didn't know too many in their town. I mean, I knew kids that were around my age who were back living there now. But to see the parents of the players and the athletes and how much they love the game of football and our two towns and our cultures coming together on game nights and stuff like that. If you would have told me back when I was playing in 2002 that someday, you know, I'd be coaching in Hardin County and Bison would be a team to, you know, co-op together, I would have said you're crazy. There was no possible way back in 2002 I would have believed that. But where we're at now, I'm really happy it happened for both our programs.
Now, a lot of travel has to happen for the Bison athletes, but Riley lives 20 miles east of town, so his journey takes him around 150 miles round trip.
Well, I wake up about 6:30 or so, get out of the house about 7:20-ish, and then go to school, head over to Hardin County around 3 o'clock, leave Hardin County, get home anywhere between 7:30 to 8:30, depends the day. When you talk about it, it does seem like a lot, but when you're doing it and you're loving what you do and you love the group of guys you're being around every day, I mean, the last thing you want to do is go home. You want to stay there and you want to keep going back and forth. You want the ride to be a little bit longer so you can talk a little more, have a little more conversation. So it seems like a lot, but when you're in the moment, you don't want it to end when you're in the moment.
With the extra time on his hands, Veal uses it for football.
We actually, you know, on the learning our route tree and, you know, system and stuff like that, they told them to use their time, whether it be on schoolwork or if they're done with their schoolwork, then football comes next. Use that time, get on huddle, watch game film, or learn our route tree, because some of us still were struggling with that. But it's extra time where they could quiz each other and stuff like that on that ride and take advantage of all that time.
I quiz him quite often. You know, we'll go over route combinations, you know, what routes are what and all that kind of stuff. And just, you know, just giving him pointers on some things he can do different on the field.
In fact, Coach Dylan Beckman has been with Riley for a long time.
He's our coach that comes over from Bison. Good guy. Had a lot of good memories with him. He's a good coach. He's coached the same group of kids. He's coached my class since we've been sixth graders.
Yeah, we have a pretty good relationship, you know. You know, he's almost kind of like a friend more than just my athlete, you know. Him and I, you know, we've always got along really well, and be able to coach him has been really cool.
With all the miles driven and all the yards run for, Veal says he'd do it all over again.
You know, you're growing up, you're elementary kid, playing football alongside the football field and then on the football field watching Bison play. I mean, you hear the rivalries between Bison and Hardin County. But, I mean, Hardin County is Hardin County. I mean, you know, everyone knows who Hardin County is, and it's a blessing to be able to come over here and play. I mean, I get to play with these players over here. I get to play with these guys from Hardin County. I get to be coached by these great coaches over here. I get to play Friday nights in front of this great community. So it's all worth it in the end.
The state high school football championships continue today at the Dakota Dome in Vermilion with classes 9A, 11B, and 11AA. We're bringing you those games live on SDPB-TV and online. Find out all the ways to watch and see who's playing when at sdpb.org/football. With SDPB News, I'm Crystal Mija. And that is your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at SDPB News. And visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on all our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thanks for listening.